we are talking about a really terrible movie this week. It's Antitrust. Let's get into it. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in to our lovely little down-home podcast.
You're welcome.
No, you're here. You're not tuning into shit.
What?
Shut up. Pay attention.
I still download the show.
Oh, man. You're trying to skew our numbers, huh?
Every little bit helps.
You got a lot of dupe accounts.
Tell your friends about the show.
And I want to apologize up front. I sound like garbage. I've been fighting a cold.
Yeah.
So if you want to complain about that, just complain it and use hashtag Steve's a hero. I'd appreciate it because this shit didn't go dark this week.
Yeah.
I came in all the way from Jersey City with a cold.
Well, Eric and I would have figured something out.
You get that homeless guy that's been chomping at the bit to get in here?
Totally.
Hey, some weird movies, guys.
This week's episode, we're talking about Antitrust from the year 2001, directed by Peter Howitt, Howitt get hired to direct this movie.
Come on.
I like it. But I will say, I know you're wondering, from the date alone, this is actually pre-9/11.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to put on your goggles, your rose-tinted glasses of the way the world used to be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing we were most concerned about pre-9/11 is like, oh, man, that Bill Gates, huh? That guy's getting too much power.
Right.
Yeah, this is the most we had to worry about. And by the way, now look at us. Just look at it. Just back away from America and just look at it.
It was that, and I don't know if you guys remember, the Summers of the Sharks. Oh, my God. Everyone was terrified of sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Shark week. Sure.
There were sharks on the shores.
Now we celebrate sharks, though.
Exactly.
This episode, because it is indeed still Listener Request Month, gang, comes to us requested by Jenny from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hi, this is Jenny from Knoxville, Tennessee, calling in to request Antitrust. It's Enemy of the State meets She's All That, a 90s time capsule movie that came out in 2001.
And that's a call I like, by the way. In and out, under 15 fucking seconds. God bless you. God bless you, Jenny.
No, take your shoes off. Stay a while.
Yeah. You know what? Do it. I'm just going to cut it right down. I'm going to cut it right. I'm going to whittle it down like a big piece of wood.
Well, thank
down
you.
Down to a toothpick.
Thank you, fans, for your outpouring of calls and requests
Words. Steve, what is this movie about?
This movie is about a teenage wunderkind. I guess, no, he's older than teenage, right?
He's a college graduate.
He's a college graduate.
Wait,
wunderkind.
Did he graduate? I guess he just graduated.
Yeah, him and his friends.
Right, he doesn't really have a job yet.
Yeah, he's working out of a garage. He gets the attention of a Bill Gates stand-in.
It's a mashup between Bill Gates and Steve Jobs.
Yes, played by Tim Robbins. I think his name is Gary something.
It's Gary, yeah.
It's Gary whatever, and he's
Gary Nerve.
He pulls him out, and he's like, "Hey, I got this deadline. I have this really cool world changing software. I need you to help me with." And then shit gets intriguish.
Oh yeah, the kid, by the way, is Ryan Phillippe.
Of course,
you guys remember him.
Do I?
Well, no, you remember him as being really great in the film MacGruber.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Cruel Intentions.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the thing about Cruel Intentions is you can't single out just one performance because everything in that movie just so fabulous.
Everyone is kissing. Everyone is kissing.
I rewatched that movie recently. It doesn't hold up.
Really?
You don't believe it, yeah.
But they kiss in it, don't they?
They do kiss in it. Yeah, everybody's kissing.
Fucking and sucking until the sun comes up in that movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, no one's fucking and sucking in this movie. That's a problem.
No, I would
appreciate at least some sucking. Just to see it.
Yeah, just to see what's going on.
Sure. Why not? There's rich people all over the place. They're, you know,
they
throw
do.
Money around, right? This movie also, you want to talk about, and by the way, we should also mention, this is kind of, you could qualify this as a cyber thriller.
Yes, it is.
There's not, I mean, there's some internet stuff floating around, no, including the HTML opening credits.
When the end of your movie involves someone like punching keys into a computer and saying, "Come on, come on," yeah, it's a cyber thriller.
Yeah, this is indeed a cyber thriller. That's like, you know, 4 to 7 years too late for cyber thrillers, man.
Yeah.
I mean, also, see our episode on Swordfish, speaking of cyber thrills. Oh, hey, someone sucking and fucking in that movie. Should have been more like Swordfish. Yeah, antitrust.
You know what movie I think is actually a little underrated, and I'm going to be crucified for this, but I thought Black Cat was pretty fun.
I didn't see it.
Still there's some fucking it. And sucking.
And there's some hacking.
Yeah.
All three till the sun comes up.
Hardcore hacking in that one, huh?
Yeah, there's a bit of hacking.
Is Thor fucking and sucking in that movie?
Yeah, but it's not like...
Oh, is it a Thor body double, though?
No.
He doesn't want to show his Australian penis.
You know, it's Michael Mann. He's classy.
Yeah.
Show him wake up with a little bit of a towel over his...
Oh. Any buttock?
We talking half-mast or what?
No, I don't know.
You know what? By the way, you just sold me on watching Black Hat.
Listen, I watched it on my phone during my commute, so I needed a bigger screen to tell about the mast. I wasn't quite in the heart of the sea.
Dude, I told you should have went to iPhone 6 Plus.
So you know why the sexuality might have been tamped down in this film? In antitrust?
Oh, right. Yes.
Not Black Hat. I don't know what goes on in that. The Pepsi Corporation wouldn't allow it, I'm guessing.
Oh, man. There is just drink Pepsi. Like, all in this movie. And it's, like, there's some, like, unsubtle product placement in movies. This is about the most unsubtle. Like, a dude should have just come out, like, in a little circle in the corner of the screen going, "Pepsi, you drinking Pepsi yet? Hey, well, who's thirsty?"
Well, I mean, like, I feel like laws were passed after this film to make sure that Pepsi couldn't have this much of a hold over a movie again.
The Antitrust Product Placement Act of 2002. I mean, it's ridiculous. There is one shot of like an ominous looking Pepsi machine.
Yeah.
So the Pepsi machine's kind of like the fourth build villain in this movie.
It's kind of heavy.
It's the 2001 monolith or something.
It is. It's
like everyone
so
becomes
weird.
Aware of like, you know, like everyone can now see their hacking potential because they've been awakened by the caffeine and feel good refreshness.
The climax
Pepsi
takes place in front of a Pepsi machine.
Right in front of it. Right in front of it. Again, just look at it.
And kids at home, if you want a climax.
Watch Black Hat?
In front of a Pepsi machine might be a good spot.
Do not climax in front of a Pepsi machine.
Because that definitely means you're in public.
It's all right if you know, you're not old enough to be prosecuted. In an adult court, to chalk it up to boys will be boys?
Yeah,
exactly. That holds up in the Supreme Court, doesn't it?
Probably.
So this movie starts with Ryan Phillippe, and he's got like, it's Ryan Phillippe, his best friend, whose name is Teddy.
Yes.
Who's an Asian man, and the only reason I'm letting you know he's Asian is that it plays a really big part later in the film.
Oh, sure does. So they've both graduated. They got like a couple of other bro dudes that they got a startup with.
There's two brown-haired guys that both look like Noel Gallagher, and I can't tell them apart.
I was mixing these dudes up in the movie, and I was at one point towards the end of the movie, I was like, "How's that guy in both of those places?" And then I was like, oh, "It's two people."
Exactly. I thought it was one guy the entire movie.
It was ridiculous.
Incredibly fast.
One of them is played by Nate Dushku, who's Eliza Dushku's brother.
No.
Yeah, dude.
That's his claim to fame.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, he's an antitrust. And then the other guy's just kind of somebody. But the four of them are going to start this, you know, internet startup company. They've got some code that they've been working to hackety hack, don't talk back, I don't know, computers. And they're going to start a business in a garage just like Stephen the Wise Man. Like, that's what we're talking about. You know, we're going to change the world from a garage, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, bring, bring. Oh, Tim Robbins calls and offers Ryan Phillippe and Teddy a job. And this is like the big point of contention in the early goings of this movie. Because Teddy's like, "That man's a monster, man. You're going to go work for the devil, man." And Ryan Phillippe's like, "I need a job because this is the world." And that's as simple as it gets. And this dude is like so pissed off that his friend had the audacity to get a job.
It's like Tim Burton going to work for Disney, man. I'm sure some, like his buddy Ralph was like, Tim, you can't do it, man.
Dude, we were going to start up our own Frankenweenie Industries. It was going to be the next Mickey Mouse, man. The next one. The next one, Tim. Fuck you, Tim. Yeah, we'll see you never again, Tim Burton.
Holy shit. Now that you mentioned like he would be the next Disney, I would love to go to Burton World.
Man.
How does Tim Burton not have a theme park under his belt?
Good question.
Right.
Man,
yeah.
What a house of horrors that would be. What a treat. I'd pay $80 to go in.
Yeah, of one course. Room is just showing you the Corpse Bride. You have to stay there the whole time.
Oh, maybe that... The House of Prostitution from Beetlejuice.
Oh yeah, that's exciting.
That's kind of like the adult zone.
Disney World's got one of those. It's
right.
Called Pleasure Island.
Oh, dude, I don't want to know what goes on there.
It's got one of those things where they celebrate New Year's Eve every hour.
Are you serious?
Or every midnight they do New Year's Eve.
That's something creepy
like that.
As fuck.
Yeah, it's suicide inducing. They wouldn't have that at Burton World though. Nothing
no.
But creepy fun.
Well, it'd be Halloween every night.
No, it's either it's split down the middle. It's Halloween and then it's Christmas because that man loves him some Christmas.
He loves Christmas.
A spooky Christmas.
A spooky Christmas. Shane Black loves Christmas as well.
Shane Black could not have a theme park though.
No.
No.
He could have a stunt show somewhere, maybe inside Burton World.
I like that.
Shane Black Stunt World.
Yeah, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, Shane Black's out there coordinating some stunts for you.
It's just him pushing you off a building onto a giant mat.
Yeah.
Like it's just the opening of Lethal Weapon 1. All you have to do is try to talk someone out of killing themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Doesn't a prostitute jump off a building at the start of that, or is it just a girl?
I think it's no. It's not Riggs' wife. It's just it's a girl, I believe.
Hey.
Some general's daughter, I believe.
No, I was thinking of the film The General's Daughter.
And then Tommy Lee Jones is called in to investigate.
No, that's John Travolta, the general's daughter.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, man.
Why hasn't either of them worked with Tim Burton?
I don't know, but I think you're thinking of U.S. Marshals.
I think I might be. Either way, there should be a chicken suit at Burton World.
There definitely would be.
You see what happens when you start talking about antitrust? It's like a knot of 90s movies that just kind of can't unravel.
And Jenny's call is totally right. It's the best 90s movie to be made in the 2000s. I mean, because it's just 90s runoff. Like you flush a toilet and there's just like a little bit of the 90s still just floating in the bowl. Mm. And they scooped it out and they made antitrust. Because you got Ryan Phillippe, who the fuck could care? You got Rachel Lee Cook, the world stopped caring about that in, 99, right? Like, she's all that was like 97, something like that.
And then you got Claire Forlani, possibly the worst actress in history.
Let's just, I'm pulling the WHM emergency lever so we can stop the episode.
Oh!
Yeah, sorry. I should have warned you sooner. A lot of whiplash there.
Oh
no, people are getting whiplash at Burton World.
Ooh, how twisted. She is one of the worst actors I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know how she got work.
I think she's got a tape of someone getting killed. Someone killing somebody.
Really?
And the problem, they're all really bad, to be quite honest.
No one is good in this movie.
Even Tim Robbins, who I think is great. He kind of disappears throughout most of the movie. But, like, this is a paranoid thriller. Like, kind of. It's a cyber thriller, but it's also, more importantly, a paranoid thriller, I guess.
Right, you need the likes of Gene Hackman in this movie.
It's a Noia film.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You're totally right. And this is, like, no one is believable in any of, like, the paranoid whatever. You know what I mean?
They just talk faster. they just had a metronome go faster.
Ryan Phillippe, like, pretending to be out of breath constantly.
Right.
Like, that's this movie. And Claire Forlani, who should only be hired to play English people, because this English accent is just, it's like water falling through a sponge, man. You can't keep this thing in.
I don't understand, like, later in the movie, like, she's revealed to be a double agent. Like, just make her double agent be English. And you're like, oh, wow, it was a fake accent the whole time.
That'd be great if she was like, I was just playing a double.
And that should be every movie she's in. The end of Mallrats at the game show.
Oi, I was just playing a double, me was. Sorry, LaForce, I was just playing a trick on you, I was. That would
oh,
be awesome.
Sean Connery's my dad. Oh, I was British in that one, wasn't I? I wasn't. I'm British in The Rock.
Oh, The Rock.
She's in there.
Yeah, she plays his daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, my. The Rock's daughter.
I was just wondering if one day we could have a nice relationship together. No? All right. I just, I got my Hunt for Red October hair going, so is that doing anything for you from a father's perspective?
That size of a role, though, like her in The Rock.
Yeah, sure.
That's where she needs to be, or preferably much lower. You know, and she's in this movie a lot. She's Ryan Phillippe's girlfriend.
Yes.
Who turns out to be this double right. agent who's working for Tim Robbins. Whatever. Hey, you know what movie? Whatever. You lost me a long
it's a
time
conspiracy.
Ago.
We could cut out, like, the first hour of this movie is mood setting, and it goes nowhere.
Well, because it drops the mood that it sets.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, and let me tell you, a lot of what's wrong about that first, like, 40 minutes of the movie, this score is wholly inappropriate. Like, you're trying to set up, like, you know, nothing is as it seems, this, that, and the other thing, and it's like, da boo da ba doodle like, you know, the fucking theme from, I don't know, Carpool or one of those stupid kid,
yeah,
kid
like,
power movies, you know,
like,
what I mean?
Hey, having a job in computers is fun. Then it's just like you're doing that for a while and you're like, yeah, you know, life can be good sometimes. And then, you know, the other shoe falls.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's a sudden, oh, my God.
And then it's just a lot of early 2000s rat and roll music. And yep. Nobody's asking for it. And this is, I realized something that's crazy about when a bunch of bad music is shoved into a terrible movie and then they use like a good song at one point, it's poisoned the rest of like any possibility of good music to sound good. Like at one point in this movie, there's an Elliott Smith song. And I was like, God, the fucking music in this
Isn't
movie.
Isn't there a Bowie song?
Bowie like super stands out.
Right, yeah.
You know, they play Heroes at one point.
There's two Dandy Warhol songs.
Who cares? Hey, do people care about the Dandy Warhol?
I wore out that CD. I wore out the digital grooves in that CD.
Oh, man.
And I can tell you the two tracks played without looking at it were Godless and Nietzsche. Yeah, man. Oh. Or Nietzsche, depending.
You know what? Yeah. They're not that bad.
I don't know, but
it's
like
it's not like Jamiroquai showing
well,
up.
Well, no,
man,
that's
I
true.
Wish Jamiroquai
that's
showed
true.
Up.
This
but could
like use virtual insanity.
Yes, exactly. Would have worked.
This needs it.
How do you not have virtual insanity on this soundtrack? And why the fuck are you playing Elliott Smith? And I felt terrible because I was like, listen to this shit. And I was like, oh no, that's Elliott Smith. They just put him in this terrible garbage movie with a terrible garbage soundtrack. And now I'm thinking Elliott Smith's garbage. Fuck you, antitrust.
Well, that's the Good Will Hunting phenomenon as well.
Oh, that's right.
Tim Robbins wants both Ryan Phillippe and Teddy, and he doesn't. Teddy says no, man. Fuck. Not only does Teddy's a real dick about it and stomps his feet and goes, he's like, I'm gonna start my own company. And like,
you just signed your own death warrant.
And in Portland, you know, Ryan Phillippe gets this dope house. He's got like a car, I guess, and some other stuff
according
going on.
According to IMDb trivia, which some of you say we need to cite more of.
Would say we should cite less, but continue.
I think it was like a Mercedes SUV.
Is that significant for some reason?
No, but it's on IMDb trivia, and some people say we don't mention the trivia enough.
Well, listen, some people read IMDb trivia like someone reads the Daily News.
I don't think you can get your news from IMDb trivia.
I want to see a guy on a commuter train folding up the IMDb, rattling through the pages.
I don't know, man. Ryan Phillippe driving Mercedes SUV. Hey, that's news to me, baby.
Well, mother. Seems like they made 16 Batman outfits of this new Batman v Superman film.
Still not going to see it, though, Mother. Couldn't care less.
What's an election year? What?
Year 2000, Matthew Broderick. Reese Witherspoon as well, yes. Oh, yeah, it says it right here.
Oh, you're speaking of the film Election.
Yeah. Oh, did you mean election year? Oh, but there's also The Purge election year coming up. It's out in theaters, Mother, in July 4th or some
and,
shit.
And, you know, they shot some of that in Vancouver, Canada.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sit down, Mother. It's time for Goofs and Gaffs. And yes, Junior, we will get to crazy credits.
But speaking of which, and now you're gonna, now I know you devoted IMDb fans are gonna mention this. Apparently,
yeah,
I might have been under crazy credits actually for this film.
Yeah,
the opening credits of the HTML part of the source code of IMDb.
Wow, just blowing minds left and right.
That's this them movie. Kissing the fucking ring. It's yeah, like, yeah, you want to be on IMDb, baby? You put us in the source fucking code. You kiss the ring.
I believe Ryan Phillippe to be a hacker as much as I believe my physical appearance to resemble Thor. Like, it is so unbelievable he's a hacker in this movie.
You're saying it's unlikely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's wholly unbelievable.
He does look like a 14-year-old in this movie.
Yeah, well, he looked like a 14-year-old until, like, last year.
That's true.
He was pretty buff in MacGruber.
Oh, yeah. He's getting it going on in MacGruber.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's probably the best movie he's ever been in.
Yeah. Right? I'm not a big Gosford Park fan.
I forgot he's in that movie. Yeah, you know, I like that movie. I think I kind of like MacGruber more.
Yeah.
Take that, the ghost of Robert Altman. So who else we got? We got Rachel Lee Cook in this movie. She's a coworker of his. He goes to work for this company.
This like, non-Jack Black guy who kind of becomes, right, like, the heavy in the later in the movie. I think he was on Reaper for a while.
Tyler Labine.
He's in that Tucker versus Dale versus Evil movie, am I correct? Or Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
I think that's him. Tyler Labine, again, is the actor's name.
So Labine.
He's given him a tour, and he's like, hey, man, this is how cool it is. This is where the daycare center is. This is where he's like, oh, man, Rachel Lee Cook looked at you. She never looks at any of us. It's like, it's weird, like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Ryan Phillippe's like, yeah, well, I have a girlfriend, so... And yeah, she does have a real American accent.
Just shut up about it.
Stop asking. You see sort of like right away like how this is like in physical appearance, mm-hmm. Tim Robbins is supposed to look like Bill Gates.
Yeah.
In like execution, this dude is Steve Jobs.
Yes, he doesn't believe in open systems. He doesn't want any modifications to any of his stuff.
He's a lot of flying off the handle, like coworkers and whatnot. A lot of him yelling at these two poor sad sack lawyers in this movie. Just like three or four scenes of these people getting chewed right out.
Mm-hmm. You know, the best scenes of the movie, probably.
You know, it's also getting chewed out? Pringles. Because he fucking loves Pringles.
Oh, like, man.
So on Phillippe's first day, he comes over and he's like, hey, man, you want to come to my office? I'll show you some cool stuff. And he shows him like his whole satellite hookup and whatever. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty awesome, right? And Tim Robbins is shoving Pringles into his face.
And it's plain Pringles, by the way. Yeah, you couldn't even bother to get a sour cream and onion in there.
Even with the original flavor, once you pop, man, you can't stop.
He hasn't been able to stop since like the early 80s, I guess, just eating these fucking Pringles.
Skid Row, looking for your fix. For your... Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous. Like, Tim Robbins is going really over the top in this movie. Like, he's shoving these Pringles into his mouth, and there's like... Pringles getting stuck to his face, and he's like, I love this job. You're just like, Jesus Christ. You're getting paid at least $1 million to eat Pringles right now in front of this
camera. The amount of pounds he must have packed on from those Pringles, man.
And all the Pepsi? Oh, yeah. Someone needed to book a trip to the dentist after all this. So it's like, basically, here's what's basically going on in this movie. Tim Robbins kind of has a Hank Scorpio plan.
Yes.
And it's like everybody's got to do their part to get this satellite system online or something.
It's a media sharing thing, but it's like directly through satellites. And it seems like you can turn your shitty 90s flip phone into an iPhone. Like you can play videos on it,
and
I guess.
It's like all your PDAs and TVs and every single thing that has a computer in it,
right,
will be able to sync to a program called Synapse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And yeah, this is just getting ready to blow minds, man.
And what its purpose is, no one really knows.
Nobody, the movie doesn't know.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know. I mean, it's the MacGuffin of the movie.
Yeah.
But tell us some sort of intention, right? Like, if Tim Robbins is the bad guy in this movie. It's no surprise, right? So, like... Maybe it's some sort of devious thing where he's going to, I don't know, I mean, steal all the world's credit card information, like anything, or like, just
what
anything.
But what is the consumer like need for this
I think it's basically like you can share videos and take videos or
right.
something.
It's like he's inventing YouTube and sending YouTubes to people.
I guess so.
I don't know. But I guess it is like
I mean,
it's
this
a
listen,
smartphone.
This movie was ahead of its time. This movie invented YouTube and smartphones.
So Ryan Phillippe's part is super. The funny thing is, like, he's like this down and out programmer. This guy's leaving at 5 o'clock every day. Like Tim Robbins, the whole point is like Tim Robbins like overestimated the date. He's like, it's got to be June 15th, and that's a really short amount of time to make it live. He's like, we'll figure it out, man. And his like kind of mantra is, I don't care. There's no such thing as a problem. Right. Get creative.
Sheer
right.
will.
Yeah.
Sheer the triumph of the will of this fella will make it happen.
But I mean, like, he's like Phillippe's leaving at 5 o'clock. He's taking an hour for lunch, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like,
you're eating those Pringles and drinking that Pepsi at that desk till 3 a.m. asshole. Now get coding.
Even at like one point, like later in the movie, like he comes over to Phillippe's desk, and like Phillippe's doing some nefarious shit, and he's like, oh, still here, huh? I'm like, yeah, of course he is.
Yeah,
he gave an insane deadline.
Hey, Tim Robbins, why aren't you pissed off that the rest of the office is dark right now?
Yeah.
There's a deadline here. This, like, global phenomenon that you're starting.
That was a really creepy hour, though, right? Yeah. It was, like, 3:20 in the morning.
Okay.
That's, like, weird, man. That's, like, why is he there? Why would Bill Gates be wandering the halls? If not, I don't know what he's doing there, right? Besides, like, putting his pubes on shit. Like, what could he be doing there?
That's a real power play.
I think most people do it.
It's like ass pennies.
The problem is, like, you know that he does that. He's your boss. You get to your desk and there's like just pubes on your keyboard. You just brush them off. You know it, and you're just like, I have to move on.
You're keeping a lot of canned air at the office, is what you're doing. Just blowing pubes off your keyboard every morning.
No canned air. You have to touch it. You gotta touch it. You gotta brush it off. You can't use your sleeve. Touch it.
If you touch that napkin, you're fired.
Hey, Ryan Phillippe, you got change for a dime.
So, I mean, like, basically, Ryan Phillippe checks in with his friend. He's like, yeah, you know, Teddy, he's like, everything's going well. I'm working on my own deadline. I've got this cool code, blah, blah, blah. Can't wait to show it to you. Talk to you later. The next day, Teddy is batshit murdered. By baseball bats and
people holding baseball bats.
Oh, yeah, no!
Dude,
it's like
just an
Joe
army
Pesci
of
in Casino.
Dominic! If an army of moving baseball bats, like animated baseball bats, just beat this guy to death.
Are you talking about the Clone Wars?
Well, I was thinking more Fantasia.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. If all the broomsticks or mops mop handles came together and beat this dude to death,
that would be at Burton World.
That would be at Burton World, actually. Well, this is after this dude Teddy has said that Tim Robbins is like the Third Reich, by the way.
Well, because yeah, like yeah, he's like
throwing that around.
He's like, oh, he's always stealing people's code and blah blah blah. Phillippe's like, there's no proof of that. And like a couple of times early in the movie. Tim Robbins is like, hey, man, I just found this new code. He's like, oh, cool. Where'd you get this? He's like, don't worry about it. It's just going to make your job so much easier.
Yeah.
And he uses it. So Teddy's got this new thing. He's like, yeah, I made a great breakthrough. And then, like, these two dudes, Jack Black and other guy, beat the shit out of him till he's dead. They spray paint a racial epithet on the wall called Die Asian Slur.
Yeah. Just
And then Chinese slur. We'll go even that far.
And
is
like,
it that specific?
Well, yeah. Well,
and what they do is frame this skinhead group that's been in
the Aryan Brothers. Oh, are you not familiar with their work?
I don't have a lot of information on them. I know nothing about them. I don't know what they said about me.
That's good for court purposes.
No, but it's like Tim Robbins' like network is like blaming this Portland area hate group
right.
that's been going around. Like,
apparently it's their MO to leave that exact.
Yeah, like they did
on
it on like
wall.
A storefront and things like that. So right. These innocent skinheads like go down like this is kind of like a Robin Hood situation
no,
of some kind.
What? No, they're innocent skinheads.
Well, but they've committed other similar crimes.
They committed hate crimes. They didn't kill anyone. I don't think.
Well, so this dude's murdered, and cut to some of the worst acting in the movie. Ryan Phillippe talking to one of those two white guys after the funeral.
I think it's Nate Dishku at this point.
Is it? Are we sure? Couldn't tell. They all look the same.
You know, maybe they got too close and they merged.
Oh, shit. They time cut.
Yeah, same space can't occupy the same manner. Mm,
you know what? Checks out. And it's just like, did you at least get to talk to Teddy at some point? Yes, I did. I called him the other day on the phone. Yes, he told me he was very happy that you called and spoke and made up. Yes, I'm glad I am too, especially considering he's dead. And you're just like, man, look at these two robots acting in this movie.
The best thing is he's like, yes. Also, by the way, he did say that he was very close to a breakthrough. He said, the answer is not in the band. It's not in the box. It's in the band.
It's not in the box. It's in the band.
So, I mean, what does that exactly mean?
I don't know. Just a bunch of hacker horse shit.
Something about broadband, I feel.
Like the box maybe is the computer.
Oh, I hear you. All right, I got you.
You know what? Hashtag who cares.
Hashtag three liberal arts degrees. That's what that gets you. You just don't know how the world works, but you know how to go on Twitter and talk about it.
I'm going to lecture you on it. Don't worry.
Dude, speaking of going on Twitter, there's a great part in this movie where Tim Robbins is talking about how the world hates him.
Yeah.
And how all like these hackers hate him and
shit.
And he's just like, he's like, yeah, say whatever, they say whatever they want about me. It doesn't bother me. But digitizing my wife's face on a porn star's body, now that's taking it too far.
That's a 90s problem. That's what we were doing in the 90s.
You're right, yeah.
So the next day, Phillippe's at lunch again, taking a fucking full hour at lunch.
Dude, at least it's an on-campus lunch. Him and Rachel Lee Cook are going to this coffee shop a couple times a week.
Yeah, it's a real you've got mail. That's a cyber thriller.
That's a cyber thriller.
It's an erotic cyber. Wait, that's not a thriller at all. It's just a cyber erotica.
There's nothing really sexy about that
they
movie.
They don't fuck.
I mean, I'm sure they eventually,
yeah. When like Tom,
it's a sweet fucking though.
Tom Hanks like puts her bookstore out of business or something. Yeah, it's a real sweet fuck.
that's when nice people engage in intercourse in
film. Yeah, like real people.
No, real people are monsters.
So the next day, Tim Robbins is like, hey, man, I found one more code for you. It's pretty sweet. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, oh, by the way, is this too early? I know your friend's dead. He's like, no, it'll help me get my mind off. And he's like, oh, okay, your face isn't registering any grief, so I'll just sit down. And he's like, isn't it? No, it's not. Teach you how to act, kid. It's called acting. Tim Robbins. Boom. No,
hey, right. Pretend you're upset about something. How about this? Make the face you'd make if I told you you're fired from this film. There it is. Roll it.
So he sits down. He's like, and interesting thing is, it wasn't in the box. It was in the band. And like, this is my favorite part of the movie.
Oh,
like,
it's awesome.
Because it's like, you know, we're doing an extreme close-up on him. And like,
it's not just an extreme close-up. It's a dolly zoom. It's a Hitchcock vertigo shot.
And his face is like, and now we have to be replayed the last 40 minutes of this inane fucking movie.
Almost in its entirety.
I'm Claire Ferlani. I'm Rachel Lee Cook. I'm Tim Robbins. And like, they go through the whole fucking thing all over again.
Working for the Third Reich, are you? Not taking that phone call.
It's not in the box. It's in the band. Lisa needs braces. Exactly. And
dental plan.
And then all of a sudden, like, he does this great silent scream, which
the
is my
silent
favorite
scream. And it's awesome because in reality, he's just staring at Tim Robbins. So this is all in his head. This is how his head's feeling. Silent scream.
Dandy Warhols. I believe that's his third album, Silent Scream.
Not really. And it's like, okay, I have to go work on your program now. I'll see you at lunch two, which is after lunch one, but before lunch three.
Wow.
I didn't want you to think I meant lunch T-O-O also.
He has a lot of lunches. Is he a hobbit?
All they're doing is eating Pringles and fucking around in the cafeteria in this movie. No wonder this thing is not on track for deadline.
She quickly mentioned that Richard Roundtree is in this movie.
Yes, Shaft himself is in this film.
Richard Roundtree will be in your movie. No, you know what? No matter what it is, just if there's a good hotel situation and craft services is pretty organized, Richard Roundtree will do your movie.
He's playing like Department of Justice, like, I don't know if it's an attorney or an investigator.
I think he's an investigator for the DOJ, is the idea.
He's looking around. Shaft was kind of an investigator.
Yeah, dude.
So he actually at one point offers Ryan Phillippe a job.
Yeah, to come work for the Department of Justice. Now, what I didn't understand about that, was that just like a straight up working for the DOJ, or was it like being a mole inside Tim Robbins?
I think it's a real job. It's $42,000 a year. You come in and you get a
Buick.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Like, he's going to get a company car, dude. Pretty cool.
I mean, and right out of college, that salary is $42,000. Yeah. Pretty sweet.
2001 money before the fucking bottom fell out?
Holy Christ. Yeah, you could be living like an emperor.
And he's living in Portland? Holy fuck. That's good living.
That is fantastic. Oh, speaking of which, I forgot about this. I wanted to mention this from the start.
Uh-huh.
Tim Robbins lives in what I would call a future castle.
You're right.
It's
this
stone
castle,
parapets and like clear walkways.
This castle should be in the clouds.
Digital paintings left and right that changed
based on who is there and what their favorite music and art is.
And what their mood is currently.
Oh, yeah. So apparently Ryan Phillippe's mood is always like
Mortal Kombat porn?
I was going to say
it's a blank canvas. The thing just turns off. I can't read you.
It looks like deviant art.
It does. Yeah. It's all like these ladies getting strangled. Am I
and
nuts?
They're all like puckering their mouth at you.
Yeah.
Well, I thought those were supposed to be like mad things because it turns out in that scene you're referencing, Tim Robbins is like standing there being mad at him.
Oh, I see.
Because he's like hacking into his computer.
It looks like DeviantArt Mortal Kombat porn, which I'm sure exists.
Oh, of course it exists. Mortal Kombat porn drawings have to exist. Just look at them. Look at those gameplay characters.
Is there any like a Goro and that other monster going at it?
Sure. Oh, sure.
For sure, yeah.
Absolutely, dude.
Oh, or maybe Goro Kintaro. Where are those arms going?
Look at all those hands. They're going everywhere. There's Mortal Kombat sex LARPing, I guarantee you.
Really?
A lot of like, get over here.
Wait, do you have
But they're like dancing while they're doing that.
You got an address on this?
I don't.
Honey, I'm going to put on all the air conditioners. It's going to be sub-zero tonight. Like six different air conditioners.
All right, I'll turn on the oven. Get ready for Scorpion. Those were my favorite two to fight.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever else.
And whatever else happens, man.
If they kiss, they kiss.
They happen to kiss.
So, yeah, so...
Oh, man, my fetish is coming into the room and two people are having sex, yelling toasty and then running out. That's it. No sex occurs. I'm a noob cybot. Yeah, that's my move.
You're just like a sexual prankster.
I dress all in black and I go, toasty!
Oh, I know, he did it again! Oh, now it's gone!
Oh, man.
God damn it! Damn you, noob cybot!
Wow, that might actually work for me.
Hey, yeah. Speaking of fucking,
just tell me when.
Whoa.
All right, we got to schedule it out.
Wait, so speaking of fucking,
Dusty.
One of my favorite parts of this movie is like, he's laying in bed. It's like he's given like a hiring packet.
Oh, this is my favorite.
Like all this shit, including like a book that Tim Robbins has written. It's like a book on CD. So cut to one night after like his first day of work. And Ryan Phillippe's like laying in bed and he's listening to this Tim Robbins. Ironically, it sounds a lot like Tony Robbins, bullshit, motivational, whatever. And he's listening to it and Claire Forlani comes in like, hey, baby. And like, he won't take the headphones off and whatever. And she's like, excuse me, I'm a year 2000 Claire Forlani and I would like to have intercourse with you. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he just, like, puts the headphones around his neck, and it's like, yeah, baby, let's fuck while my boss's audiobook is playing.
Yeah, whoa. It's also weird because he's, like, reading the audiobook, right. Like, the disc jacket, like, yeah.
He's kind of, like, into what Gary's vibe there, right?
Yeah, he's kind of getting it.
He's kind of getting it. He's like, I'm surprised they didn't make love in this film.
I'm sure there's deviant art of Tim Robbins and Ryan Phillippe making love.
There needs to be. And if not, hey, we're looking for some.
Antitrust LARPing or whatever happens.
Do you know how you can tell that where they work in this movie is a pretty hip office space?
How's that?
Because on the wall, they have both snow and skateboards hanging
out. Oh, yeah. Whatever the mood strikes you, brother.
Dude, there is just a wall of them, like, organized by color, and it's just hip as shit.
Okay, so Phillippe comes home, and he's like, oh, my God. Claire Forlani, they killed Teddy. Oh, my God, they killed Teddy, man.
Oh,
my teddy bear.
And she's like, oh, my God, you're yelling like a madman. You're like a madman right now. I'm an American woman. And basically, they hatch a plan to make a pipe bomb. I don't know which. It's done over, like, cool music. So you don't know, A, who suggested a pipe bomb. B, who knows how to make a pipe bomb.
It's ridiculous. He's bought, like, a little chemistry set.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen this movie before. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what are they building? A bomb? Cut to them holding a bomb. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, movie. Stop reading my thoughts.
And without getting too micro on this, there's a building that isn't complete that he thinks is where all the surveillance is happening.
Building 21.
Building 21. And he's like, oh, that's where it is because no one's allowed in there and they're bullshitting us. That's where all the secrets are. So he puts a bomb. Blah, blah, blah. So much of this movie is the will they, won't they get caught bullshit that, like, which is the most least effective thrill a movie can give me because I know it's going to work. Like, someone's typing on a computer and, like, someone's away from their office and then they're going to come back and, like, they drop their keys and it's like, is he going to get there in time? Of course. Every time he's going to get there in time.
And the way they're going to cut it, it's like, it looks like there's no way that he's going to do this in time because he's still working and the dude's, like, at the door. And then they, like, open and it's like...
Yeah.
You know, Ryan Phillippe's like, was there a problem, officer? And it's like, I know it's going to be okay.
And that happened 6 to 8 times in this
film. Like, all this movie is.
But how stupid is this character that Ryan Phillippe's playing, though? Because, like, you're at this, like, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs-esque facility... And there's, you know, that there's cameras everywhere, and he's just like running around this campus, no hoodie on or anything. It's like, dude, you know, you're being filmed.
He's putting bombs in this place.
It's so aggravating. And they have to, in the bomb part, like, they go and investigate it. And this head of security, who's a big joke because he's just like a working class guy.
Yeah.
And they're all like, he's like an ex cop.
His name is Bob.
Yeah. And Bob, the head of security, is like, hey, someone put a pipe bomb in here or something. It looks pretty dangerous. And then, like, Tim Robbins, like, two goon head hackers, one of which is the dude who's wearing the fatigues on Seinfeld that's working with Elaine.
He also plays, I think he's like a dentist or something, in Ed Wood that becomes the body double for Bela Lugosi after he dies. Speaking of Burton World.
Oh, really? Oh, that's, dude, that would be another attraction of Burton World.
Yeah.
Bela Lugosi impersonating. You get to be filmed as if you're in Plan 9. They put the cape up. Yeah. Totally cool. I'd do that. Get edited into Plan 9.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why
so
the
that dude.
Fuck not.
That
come
dude,
down to Burton World. Why the fuck not?
I'll be there. I live here now.
He's got his magic castle.
Yeah, dude.
It's kind of like a little dilapidated, like kind of like Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, yeah. It would look like a little. There's like holes in the roof and whatnot.
Dude, you can go in Burton World. There's like an area where all the houses look like the video game Paperboy. And you can go get your hair cut by a guy with scissor hands. You got to sign a waiver. You might die. We're not responsible for nicks and cuts at Burton World.
Get ready for... Come on down to Burton World. Now offering Helena Bonham bumper cars.
And while you're here, check out the Big Fish Aquarium.
And before you ask, no, there's nothing to do with Batman here because we couldn't license any of it.
And don't worry, all of the ushers are Johnny Depp.
And all the waiters at the restaurants and cafes at Burton World will be dressed like Pee Wee Herman, guaranteed.
We also have a recreation of the Alamo. No, Pee Wee's bike's not there, man. Keep looking.
Just on a scale of 1 to 10, what did you guys think of Helena Bonham Bumper Cars? Because I thought it was an 11. I was really holding on to that one.
That's a good joke.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Right, thank God. All right, good.
I thought you were going to say Helena Bonham Bumper stickers at the gift shop. It also works.
Is it with her as an ape?
It's just all the different characters she's played.
Oh. Come be an ape in my Planet of the Apes auditorium.
Ook, ook, man.
Read the other scripts. And no, I never stole from Kevin Smith. Also, Kevin Smith isn't allowed.
No, Kevin Smith's allowed.
No fat people in general. No. Unless you look like Otho, you're not allowed.
You must be this Otho to take the ride.
Wasn't there at some point somewhere a Beetlejuice stage show? Wasn't that a thing?
I don't know.
Maybe.
If not, there should be.
Yeah, right? I'd go watch a Beetlejuice show.
I would.
Are they thinking of Hamilton?
You know, if I had a dime for every time I confused Smash Broadway musical Hamilton with Beetlejuice.
You know, if you look at the life of Alexander Hamilton, it's kind of as fantastical as a Beetlejuice. That guy really had some amazing life.
Oh, so antitrust.
Another very important plot point in this movie.
There's a lot we're missing.
Ryan Phillippe, deathly allergic to sesame seeds.
That's so stupid.
And I know you're out there, but are you? Some of you are, but...
No, I'm sure you are, but you know what? No one's making a movie about you.
Exactly, and they shouldn't.
In the beginning, him and Claire Forlani are out to dinner, and like he gets some role, and he's like talking to Tim Robbins. He's like, oh, he's so great. It's amazing. I love it there. And he grabs this role, and she goes, honey, sesame seeds. And he goes, oh, thanks, babe. I was totally ignoring that.
It's awesome.
I was ignoring my allergy for a minute.
She grabs it from him like she's yelling at a dog, and it's just like, no! And she like grabs the roll out of his hand and just, sesame seed, stupid. She hits him on the nose with a newspaper.
You don't get this.
And then she just eats it in front of him.
All these sesame seeds really make this roll. It's delicious.
Oh, now that's my fetish.
Claire Forlani eating sesame rolls in front of you.
Wait. And then I go, toasty.
Where's the DeviantArt page of that?
Basically, he thinks it's this one room, this one building, but oh my God, it's actually in this ridiculous daycare center they have, which is really dangerous. There's a lot of jagged edges and like keyboard-centric things going on.
My question was, is it like a front? Are they just like bussing kids into this thing and just making them sit in a pen or something?
See, not Jack Black mentions it towards the start of the movie.
Man's name is Tyler Labine. Right, he has an identity.
So Mr. Bean says...
Close enough.
Says that. The daycare center. It's like, none of the geeks even have kids. That's for like the stupid clerks and accounting people.
Oh, right. It's where all the plebes take their children.
Exactly. So I think the idea there is that no one with a brain would ever enter that building to unearth the evil conspiracy.
I see. Yeah.
So the evil conspiracy is he goes in there, he hacks the net. And he finds
it's a hardcore net hack, man.
It is. And also
it's a righteous hack.
It's a fairly righteous hack.
I think he's hacking a Gibson.
Dude,
here.
He knocked that Gibson on its ass.
This is a Bill Gates-esque figure. You know he's got a couple Gibsons.
Sure.
So he finds out not only Bill Gates has been,
Gary
has been surveilling all of the hackers in the world, it seems.
Okay, yeah. Now this is where it gets really dumb. Because this is not only just surveilling the hackers of the world. Like, I know you at home are probably thinking, if you haven't seen the film, oh, he's just hacking everyone and seeing what they're doing. No. One of his goons goes to every single hacker's house in the world or coder or programmer's house in the
world. Everybody.
And puts up a physical fucking camera in their room specifically aimed at their computer monitor.
Yep. So that he can see what they're doing, Eric. That makes perfect sense.
And they scan it and they steal the code from their monitors through the camera.
I think also part of this, though, is they're being surveilled at their office. Like these, I think some of these people, they do have files on all these hackers, but some of the people are people like at their desks at Gatesland.
Okay, but like some of these people are definitely at home. There's there's one guy with a nice fedora
all around the all, all around the world.
Statues crumble for you.
Yes. Where was Sugar Ray in this movie?
How the fuck did you beef that antitrust soundtrack? I'm sure they had some darker tunes.
Oh, guys, I'm sorry. The negotiations with Sugar Ray fell through. We're going to have to go with Everclear.
Oh, what the fuck? I hate Art Alexakis. All right, fine, but he can't sing about his dad. They're all about his dad. What do you want the guy to sing about?
Come this Saturday to Burton World, where we'll feature musical guest Sugar Ray. Bwahaha.
So, but, and then he finds out that he was being surveilled. He finds out through hyperlink Asian slur or die Asian slur, he gets the video of Teddy's death. And it's like, why would you have a hyperlink to somebody's death? Ever.
Well, it's actually like he clicks on it and it's like, that file's been deleted. So then he does this little.
What you just did is way more intricate. He writes /restore video.
Yeah, it's that easy.
And he watches his friend just get murdered and it's awesome. His, again, my lord, everyone is terrible in this movie.
Right, and it was Mr. Bean that killed him.
It's Mr. Bean
doing
the murder.
What was the name? Quentin Labine?
Tyler.
Tyler Labine.
He beats him to death by smothering a turkey over his head and kills him.
Oh, no. He's showing a teddy bear the crime scene.
When he sees the video, Ryan Phillippe's reaction is just, oh! It's just this, like, quarter orgasm. Like, ah!
It's like when you,
ah!
Imagine looking at your bank account and finding you have $38 less. That's the face you would make. Like, oh, what? Oh, yeah, I did go to the bar last. Oh, you're right.
Am I missing $38?
The other hyperlink he finds, he's going through all these employee files.
There's so many good finds in this scene.
He goes into Rachel Lee Cook's file, hyperlink molested as a child.
Oh, man. And
in the world is this doing in this movie?
You don't want to click on that.
It's this whole thing where, like, her dad is arrested and there's, like...
There's footage of his arrest or
footage somehow. Yeah. It's outrageous.
And it's just, he reads her whole file. He also reads Claire Forlani's file. Spoiler alert, her real name is, like, Rebecca something.
Rebecca Paul or something?
Yeah.
When she was, she said her name was Alice.
Oh.
Which is, there you go.
And apparently, like, she was some, like, car criminal or something and they expunged her record and, like, basically...
Hired her.
How is any of this economically viable? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's a billionaire.
Pay these people. Be like, hey, can you help me with my fucking thing? Here's a lot of money. As opposed to, like, having goons all throughout the country, changing these. Someone has to change these surveillance things.
Physically change these cameras. If you move your monitor too far to the right, gotta have Tyler Labine make a geek squad run.
No, maybe they are like posing as, you know, Best Buy. Well, no, because hackers wouldn't need those people to set up shit. So, you know what? You're right. It makes no sense.
Right.
It's super criminals breaking into your house at all hours and putting in these like little, you know, like spy cameras.
Well, like I said, it's a Hank Scorpio thing, man. Like just the resources are just endless. Endless for this plan. But all to make this sort of satellite YouTube thing. Here's the problem. There's so much that's being invested in this for something that's not a sinister thing that would harm humanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're doing all this shit because you're going to build a super laser, totally understandable.
Or like there's like a nefarious reason. Like, yeah, I'm making everything into a smart tablet and everyone's going to have a video.
Yeah.
but then it's mind control or something. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's basically like inventing Kazaa. You know what I mean? Like, cool. Wow. You better murder people for that, Tim Robbins.
People, a lot of people lost their lives due to Kazaa.
But like, the funny thing, like, how much do you have to pay Claire Forlani, or how much do you have to pay to like expunge someone's record and shit?
Well, how much of that do you think is like blackmail in some way? You know what I mean? Like, we'll do this if you help us out. So there might, like with Claire Forlani, maybe there's not a money thing. Maybe there's no transaction.
But he's also killing people left and right in this movie. There's like a car accident. There's Teddy. There's other people. Everyone's, and like he's all set up to kill Ryan Phillippe. Like, I'm sure anyone who's a billionaire has killed at least one person. You just can't, like, it's impossible to get $1 billion in this country and not have to be directly involved with somebody's death. I get
Donald Trump is responsible for several deaths and probably more to come.
Bill Gates, you know, everybody.
They've,
like,
they've all killed people.
Just one or two, that's the thing. Right, and you keep it to a manageable number.
But it's not like, they're not like surveillancing them forever. It's just, you know, it's someone like personal to get. Or it's like a thrill-seeking type of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Well, just like you get like just one little juicy, like little bit on somebody and then you're out of there.
You know, or you like that one guy has a great idea, so you kill him and you start the company. Then you got money, you don't have to kill anymore.
Yeah, Mark Cuban has killed like 6 people. Like not that many people.
He drops them in that shark tank.
That's how
and
people
then Robert
should...
Urchevec eats them.
That's how people should get kicked off that show. You literally get dropped into a shark tank and destroyed.
Hey, look, you want to be a millionaire? Cool. You might die, though.
There is a Bond villain that does that. Can't recall which one at the moment. But, like, there needs to be some kind of nefarious something or other, not we're getting Napster off the ground.
So the next phase of the movie is, like, Ryan Phillippe goes to the Justice Department, and also the Justice Department is in on it.
Yeah, Richard Roundtree's crooked.
He's wearing a Spawn t-shirt, by the way.
Who, Richard Roundtree?
Oh, no, I wish. can I wear this Spawn t-shirt I brought from home?
Who's wearing a Spawn t-shirt?
Ryan Phillippe.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, it's really lame.
That would have been way better. Can you imagine Richard Roundtree? He's got, like, a sharp pair of slacks on, a nice blazer, some polished shoes, and a Spawn t-shirt. He's the cool cop.
I would love it. But the way that he finds out that Roundtree is crooked is he's like going through that database of everyone's murder and molestation videos.
Murder and, or molestation, depending.
And, speaking of which, there's a great line earlier in the film where Gary's complaining that, like, why he's being investigated. It's like, it's not like we're strip mining or making kiddie porn.
Yeah, oh, that was amazing because I was like, you went right to child pornography. Yep,
like pretty quick, pal.
Well, it turns out he's got all these molestation files. So in those files, it's like some of the info was like gathered by like code name ND47.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes to Roundtree's to tattle on Gary, and he sees like in his office, there's like he was like a Notre Dame football player or something. So it's like his number was like 47. So he's like, oh my God, I'm putting it together.
And so then like Richard Roundtree comes in to be like, did you have something to tell me? And he's like, nope.
And like Claire Forlani's like, hey, why did you go to the Justice Department? And she's like, well, oh, I wanted to check on Teddy's killers, blah, blah, blah. He enlists Rachel Lee Cook because he thinks she's one of the good guys.
Oh, right,
and
right,
he's
right.
And the way he gains her trust is really creepy. Like, she's like, he's like, oh, my God, Gary knows everything, blah, 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 blah. I saw these files, and she's like, that's crazy. I don't want to risk my job. And he's like, Rachel, I know what they did to you, and I know why you won't let anyone get too close. And her answer should be, fuck you, and like walk out of the movie. But instead she's like, oh my God, you're right. She's like, you must have seen my molestation. Why does she have a...
Uh-huh.
There's no video of her getting molested.
No, 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 no. But some movies just don't need child molestation even mentioned.
Sure.
And one of which being a 90s cyber thriller that was made inexplicably in the year 2001.
Well, also... throwing that fact around as a recruiting tool. Like, oh, you don't want to come take down this company? Well, I know you got molested. That's right. You do want to work with me. Like, where's the logic?
That's what ISIS does, right?
It's
it's just outrageous. That scene is filmed in the pouring rain.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like they didn't think it was going to be raining that night.
Just go for it.
They're just getting totally douched for no reason in this scene. It's weird.
So things get escalated. Later in the movie, my favorite scene of the movie is Ryan Phillippe comes home. He knows that Claire Forlani is evil. And she's like, hey, honey, I found a Hunan cooking book. You know how we can't go to Chinese restaurants because you are allergic to sesame seeds? Well, this meal I'm cooking up sure as hell doesn't have sesame seeds in it.
Meanwhile, previously he found a bag. By this time, he's found a bag of sesame seeds.
A baggie of sesame seeds.
A little baggie. For a second, I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, dude, what is that? Is that coke?
He opens a toolbox because he's like looking for... They get invited to this fancy schmancy art show that Tim Robbins is hosting, and... He's looking for scissors because he just bought this tuxedo. The price tag's still on it, okay? And he's like, oh, I just got to get these scissors. And he opens up this toolbox and he moves it. And there's like a box.
It's her art supply.
Oh, right. It's not a toolbox. You're right. She's an artist. Painter. Yeah. And there's like a box with a huge marijuana leaf on it. And I was like, say Claire Forlani. And then he opens it up and it's like a bunch of torture tweezers and this little baggie of sesame seeds.
Like, just in case, I guess.
Well, that's the murder weapon, dude.
Right.
Because also, it's in his file, hyperlink allergic to sesame seeds.
He shows all of his medical records and, like, it looks like pictures of his arm, like, after he had eaten sesame seeds.
No,
and
it's an allergy test that he got done.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it looked like the gray aliens were experimenting on him.
That's what an allergy test kind of looks like. They put a sheet over your arm with like holes in it, and then they prick you with different allergens to see what like pops up.
And do they probe your anus?
Not the one I had done. I got the lower level one. I didn't go for the deluxe gold package.
What's lower than anus?
But the line that's like written on the thing, it just says catastrophic allergy to sesame seeds.
It's that bad, man.
It's catastrophic.
It says he might die.
So he comes home and she's like, honey, I'm hooking. And she's like, no sesame seeds. He's like, oh no, she's probably going to kill me with sesame seeds. Now my answer here is, sorry, hun, got explosive diarrhea. I'll be down for the rest of the night.
You know what? Seriously, don't be afraid to pull the diarrhea card on your girlfriend.
It'll end if you want to get out of something. I mean, it's going to make shit awkward for a couple of days. But if she's a double agent anyway, fuck it.
Well, what do you care? Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to be known as the boy who cried diarrhea. After a certain point, you can't keep using it.
Well, listen, clearly their relationship is over. Just say, sorry, babe, explosion diarrhea, and off to bed you go to plot how you're going to bring down your girlfriend, your series of coworkers, your megalomaniacal boss. Like, he's got things to do.
When you have diarrhea, you go to bed?
You should probably hopefully sleep it off if you can.
I mean, maybe sleeping in the tub if that's what you're getting at. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you
sleep
take
in that tub. You know, like... The I would say feet to the faucet there.
And listen, this
let it
scene,
run down the drain.
Look, hun, sorry, you grab Jonathan Franzen's The Corrections and you go to the toilet and you get through that novel.
Sorry, hun, it's an infinite jest kind of night in the bathroom.
I'm going to read all the footnotes.
He said you didn't have to, but I got time.
I ain't going nowhere.
What's ridiculous though about this scene is like she's cooked this Chinese food and he's trying to see, like, he scratches his arm open with a fork and rubs some of the sauce in it, and he knows that like it will take a minute for this thing to kick in, and he's like, oh babe, do we have any chopsticks? Yeah, go in the kitchen and get me some chopsticks. And again, this is all like he's waiting, he's looking at his watch. It's like, dude, get up and go to the bathroom.
Also, just don't even leave it to chance.
And he's testing it out, and she's then like, aren't you hungry? Oh, let's have some, right? And he's like, a toast first. And he makes this bullshit toast to, like, life or some fucking cliche.
Not being poisoned.
Exactly.
Glug.
I really thought the twist of this scene was she ground up those sesame seeds into that wine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
That
would have been
cool,
pretty cool. And then, like, she sits on his lap, and she's, like, sticking her finger in this fucking chicken sauce and like sticking it in his mouth, and I'm like, I'm sitting there. My skin's crawling because it's like, shit or get off the pot with this scene. There's no tension. I know it's not going to kill the main character with, you know, 30 minutes left of the movie.
But thank God we got some sucking in.
There's some finger sucking. Sure.
Rusty! Oh, man, again! God damn it, Noob!
Man, Noob Saibot's the worst roommate to have. Trying to get laid, he keeps running in with that toasty gag. Why does that guy think that shit's fucking funny?
He's been doing it for 25 years.
Do we really have to wait till the end of the semester to kick this guy out? This guy sucks.
I mean, doesn't he see the tie on the door?
So
I left my blue mask on the doorknob.
My ninja gauntlet was wrapped around the door.
So at some point, at this point, she says, like, I really love you. And you realize that she, like, actually has feelings for him. And he it's amazing because she's not that bright. He's like, do you, Rebecca? And she's like, yes. And she's like, oh, shit.
Man.
That's my fake name.
And what this movie starts doing, like, right from here, and it's like, cry me a fucking river, is, like, try to reposition it so she's not an evil double agent. You know, and like make you feel for her. And like the end of the movie, you know, whatever, all is said and done. And it's like everybody's getting arrested but her.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, Ryan Phillippe, not all of it was lies. And he's like, I know. And it's like happy music. And she drives off. I'd be like, go screw. Like, kiss my ass. Yeah. Get arrested.
You're also implicated. You're at least an accomplice to my best friend's brutal murder.
Totally. And he's this in this movie, like, he has totally forgiven her, and it's complete bullshit.
So the last act is really like he's burning some CDs with all this footage on it of all of like the murders and stuff.
Dude, there is a red hot CD burning action montage in this movie. I was at the edge of my seat.
I gotta say, this movie made me feel a lot of nostalgia. At the same time, like, how did I ever live through this?
Dude, I said the same thing last night. I was like, the 2000s were a terrible time.
It was a bit of a nightmare, for sure.
The early 2000s, man, my goodness.
Worst time in history.
And he's got some hard metal CD jewel cases.
That I never saw.
Well,
were those
you're
real?
You're not making the money.
Oh,
like, this guy's making
you're
the
right.
Gary
you know what?
Money.
I wasn't making hacker Gary money.
This is nerve money. NURV,
which is
their Microsoft stand-in.
This could be a really great name for like an energy drink.
Nerve,
pound some nerve.
Get your nerve up.
Nerve Red Wave, now in Blue Wave.
We got tired of just the Red Wave. Now it's Blue.
It's like Code Red.
That's what I was going to get at. Why are there multiple Mountain Dew flavors? Why do we live in that society?
The idea that...
Because people use computers.
Yeah.
What?
People can get jacked up,
listen,
man.
Listen, you don't understand it, brah. You're not a gamer, all right?
It's not just gamers. It's literally anyone that eats at Taco Bell.
You're not a computer guy. Computer guys get that flavor.
What? Code Red?
Sure.
Well, who's Baja Blast for?
That I do not know.
I don't need to drink turquoise soda.
No, I think only Lou Bega gets Baja Blast.
Sorry, that's only Mr. Bega's soda. But I'm at a Taco Bell.
It's also known as a number
five. Give me a number five.
There it is.
I'm sorry, a what? Oh, sorry, a Mambo number five.
Yeah, and I was going to list women. The creepiest thing you could do in a song.
Could you put a little Jessica in my gordita and make it fast? I have to go.
That's early 2000s, the worst, the nadir of American culture.
Do you remember?
That wasn't in the 90s?
No, that was the early aughts.
Very early, if that. I remember he went on Jason Leno's show.
That's what the astounding thing is at the end of this movie, is it's a freeze frame on three smiling white guys, and you're just like, all right.
So what
whatever
is
you
so
say,
aggravating.
Antitrust.
One of them works at a public access studio, and he's like, all right, me and Rachel Lee Cook, who I'm sure is the good guy here, is going to come with me, and we're going to play all this stuff over the... We're going to hack into his satellites.
Righteous fucking public access hack, man.
Yeah, dude. This is like that dude in the early 90s or 80s that hacked into all those TV networks as Max Headroom. It's on YouTube. It's pretty fucking wild.
Wait. That's a real story?
Yeah, there's someone actually interrupted a broadcast. I think it was maybe WGN or something.
Uh-huh.
And
he was like pretending to be Max Headroom.
He had the mask on and he was like, meh, and like playing around on the camera. And then at one point he gets his naked ass spanked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can actually find this on YouTube?
You sure can.
I know what
great.
I'm doing after this.
There was
the show.
Also another TV hack. These are my favorite hacks, by the way. And I think this one was in the UK. And I think it interrupted maybe a Doctor Who broadcast or something.
Oh, they'll fucking burn your house down if you do that to those people.
And it was a supposedly fake, I think maybe real, broadcast from an alien race, the Virilian High Command.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Wait, so that wasn't just like a stunt for Doctor Who?
No, it was like...
Because that would seem like a nice rating it sweep.
It would be, but apparently not.
Oh. Hey, man, hashtag future case file.
Definitely.
So what are we doing? We're gonna pirate this public access signal.
And so Tim Burton's whole life is...
Tim Burton?
I wish Tim Burton's life was at stake. No, Tim Robbins' whole livelihood right. is at stake. And he sends two teenagers to deal with it. Like, how do you not have fucking real Michael Clayton heavies? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the teenagers, yeah, they'll do stuff. But when shit really gets dark, it's these two ex-CIA dudes yeah. that know how to get shit done.
At least the bald guy from Seinfeld, that guy's kind of a tough.
There's just these two, like, 17-year-old dudes running around.
And that's like, it sort of gives this movie a little bit of a kid power feel. Like, yeah. just a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a teenage kid power kind of thing.
So they rush the TV station.
No one's on rollerblades in this movie, which I was pretty
which
shocked
kind
to
of
see.
Surprising. Yeah. They rush a TV station. Rachel Lee Cook betrays him because, of course, she does.
Sure.
And, oh my God, he actually has two discs, not just one, so he's running around.
There's, like, during this chase scene, Tyler Labine's, like, trying to get Ryan Phillippe down on the ground. And Phillippe, like, turns this corner and he's, like, running down this alley. And then, like, Jason Voorhees, this guy just jumps through a window and bear hugs him. And I'm like, what are you getting paid to chase this guy down? What is your commitment level here?
You're 21 years old.
Running through windows? My God.
It's crazy. And he also even says, weirdly, he's like, enough of this Mission Impossible 3 crap, man.
Oh, yeah, which yeah. was hilarious because only one of them had come out. Was 2 out by this point? No, because 2 was like 02, wasn't it?
Right, I guess so. I think maybe the trailer came out, so he's referencing like, oh, Ryan Phillippe, you're running around like, I don't know, maybe it's part 3. Maybe you're like the next one.
Which actually isn't Mission Impossible 3 kind of about like a global hack, sort of?
Oh, shit.
Isn't that what Philip Seymour Hoffman's doing in that movie?
Yo, did JJ watch this?
Oh, shit. Maybe. Hey, maybe. I don't know.
Did someone say Mission Impossible 3 in a movie? Hyperlink antitrust. And then he
forward
watched it.
Slash.
Yes, definitely. No backslashes here.
So he's dragged back to the compound. We have a big parlor scene.
We have a huge parlor scene. The cop and the other kid that you never cared about are parked in front of a Pepsi machine.
The security officer named Bob, who, like, most of his point in this film is like, hey, you better not be coming in here without scanning your own ID.
Right. They all make fun of him.
Yeah.
Well, I've worked at a company like that.
They all make fun of him because he's like trying to be good at his job. And they're right. all like, look at this fucking loser. Like when that and pipe bomb goes off and he's running to the building, they're all laughing at him.
Yeah, what a square.
It's like a school principal that has lost total grasp.
So,
of the
by the way,
of the
pre-9/11 world is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Sure.
A bomb goes off today. Look out.
You're certainly not laughing at security guards.
So he actually catches Ryan Phillippe yeah. leaving the daycare center with the server full of murder and snuff films and surveillance. And
job molestation stuff. And,
yeah, sure.
A lot of bootleg Seinfeld episodes on there.
So
all the allergies in the world.
Bob stops him. Bob stops him. And like Ryan Phillippe's like, oh, Bob, let me tell you, these guys you're working for are criminals. They have bootleg Seinfeld episodes on here. And he's like, kid, you wouldn't believe what I would believe about these people. These people are scum. Yeah. I bet they are. I bet they even got the puffy shirt episode in there. And then now Bob is on the good guy's side.
Bob's on the good side.
It,
yep.
it takes less than a second for him to turn.
And he's like, it's kind of funny because he's like, hey, is there anything I can do to help out that doesn't have anything to do with your gizmo gadgets? And one of those two white guys is just like, well, we need a TV. And he's like, TV, got it.
I can install a TV. Look at he split.
And then he's just walking back and forth, clapping his hands by a Pepsi machine.
Pepsi.
It's like,
want some Pringles? I got nothing. I got Pringles in my pockets loose.
No, Bob, we don't need your help. But Pepso, the robot Pepsi machine, we could use your help. It's like R2-D2 and it jacks into the computer.
That would be amazing.
Pepso, you are the choice of a new generation. Thank you so much.
Pepso did not get a medal at the end of the movie, though.
No.
It was fucked up.
No, and it's ridiculous. I mean, the contributions that Pepso made to taking this organization down. It's fucking discrimination. It's a robot discrimination.
So he's doing this long parlor scene, Tim Robbins is, and he's laying out all the stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and I'm going to kill you eventually. Oh, no. And he's like, Ryan Phillips is like, hey, why don't you put on your television set? There's a pretty cool broadcast coming on right about now.
And somehow, like, from this public access thing, they've hacked into a satellite, and it's broadcasting on every station. We have the...
They hacked into a Pepsi machine into a broadcast.
Right.
They rewired a Pepsi machine to broadcast all of this stuff.
We have the ubiquitous shot of Times Square where all the screens in Times Square turn onto this broadcast. You know, some of those are just electric signs, right?
Exactly. And by the way, no one's fucking looking besides like five people from Milwaukee.
Yeah. None of us care.
No one's paying attention.
It's a closed system saying, you know, drink Coke.
Yeah.
Or back in the glory days, smoke Marlboros.
There's no live broadcasts there. I mean, maybe for special occasions now, but not back in 2001.
No, but that all gets hacked, dude. So everybody is watching this thing, and it's basically like an anonymous style video where like they're showing the footage of the dude getting murdered.
It's a proto YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it now looks like the 2016 or the 2001 equivalent of a 2016 like conspiracy video kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like murder. Conspiracy. They stole this stuff.
It's like loose change being broadcast in Times Square.
In a perfect world, it would be.
The idea is that everyone's going to believe this. I don't believe in loose change.
Why not?
Yeah.
What are you hiding? Oh, shit, they got to him. But like it shows like Teddy's murder and it shows like the car crash that was shown on a news footage.
Apparently, he had some woman murdered. That's not even mentioned in the movie.
Yeah, I think that was just personal. And it goes through all this thing about how he's been stealing code and this, that, and the other thing.
There's some like loop of Tim Robbins like saying something that they just keep playing.
I can play this stinking city like a harp from hell.
Harp from hell. Harp from hell. Hell, hell, hell. By the way, did you guys see that awesome video of
Batman Returns? I love it.
No. Better than Batman Returns. Well,
what?
Maybe not.
Wait, no. Is that in Burton World?
No. There's no Batman licensing to
at the Big Fish Aquarium, there isn't a couple penguins.
Yeah, but they don't have rocket launchers on.
And Danny DeVito is just wandering the streets.
Did you guys see the video of Danny DeVito introducing Bernie at a rally?
Yes, it was fabulous.
It's so amazing, but were you not just thinking about the penguin the entire time? When he just gets up there and he's like, hello! I wasn't invited, so I crashed.
Bernie Sanders comes out tied up.
I'll be honest, I would vote for Max Schreck in this election. Max Schreck came out of the Republican convention, I'd be okay with it.
Definitely. Oh, sure. Why not?
I mean, or Harvey Dent. I'm talking about Billy D. Harvey Dent.
Or
Oswald Cobblepot. He was a politician.
I would, you know what? Honestly, he's better than Trump.
Cobblepot's got my vote, man. That guy brought a circus with him wherever he went, but it was a fucking real circus and not a racist one.
I'm going to drown babies in a sewer.
Better than Trump.
I'm going to eat fish raw publicly in front of everyone.
At least he's honest about it. You know Trump's doing the same thing.
I would eat a raw fish over a fucking well-done Trump steak.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's called sushi.
No, I would just bite into a fish. Flip-flapping on my plate.
You're talking about how he apparently prefers well-done, burnt-to-a-crisp steaks.
Yeah, like a fucking maniac.
Which is the only way Trump steaks are ingestible.
So Tim Robbins goes down. They're like, oh, by the way, the FBI's on their way. So the lawyers come in like, oh, now what?
Well, there's this thing where they're about to take the heat for it. Like, he's got, like, plan B, which is, like, all of, like, they all go in, like, Rachel Lee Cook, these two lawyers, and, like, the henchmen all go in a car. They're like, Claire Forlani, you got in the getaway car? Yeah. And he's like, no.
She has some line where she's like, no, I'm going to stay behind and answer for the things I've, what's the line? Oh, yeah, done. And you're just like, please let that be the last thing you're saying in this movie. You've already done enough.
You've done far too much.
To be way terrible in this movie. But so then the lawyers come in and Tim Robbins starts like dictating some like statement that he wants to release, blah, blah, blah.
Vampires, this and that.
Vampires. Talking about vampires. Watching vampires.
Is that my code in there?
Speaking of molested.
Well, see, that's the thing. The whole movie, the twist is he wasn't actually a nefarious businessman. He had actually just killed a pervert 3 days prior, but he was acting like a nefarious businessman.
Right.
And didn't get it. It was because he was so afraid about the pervert that he killed 3 days prior.
Oh, also in that broadcast, they released the code for Synapse.
Oh, right.
Synapse.
It's open source. Yeah, and he's got some line about like...
Oh, yeah, dude. Like knowledge is for the people.
For the people of the world.
It also doesn't make any sense because you need the use of satellites, which are proprietary, to use it.
Yeah, you can't just hack all these satellites. Yeah,
we need the people's satellite.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to it.
Get Elon Musk on that, too.
Yeah.
Launch a couple of people's satellites up there.
I mean, so the end of the movie is, like, Claire Forlani, like, drops him off at his old garage, and she's like, hey, you know, it wasn't all fake. And he's like, I know.
It should just be a swift and firm go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, by the way, you also kind of killed my friend.
Yeah, remember Ronnie or whatever his name
Teddy.
Was? Teddy, he's dead.
He should just kill her. That'd be a good ending.
She should just go to jail with the rest of them. Like, that's the thing.
Or
is
maybe
like,
they find her body parts along the interstate. Well,
but she is responsible for him getting away. So she does kind of help him out.
It's just really annoying about this movie is like, you got one, she's a double. And then Rachel Lee Cook, she's another double. Like, just pick one. I thought it was going to be at the end of the movie. Rachel Lee Cook, she was just lying about being a double. You know, she's a triple. You know, and she was going to turn
that... But the treasure! Can I tell you, and I tweeted about it a little bit, Ray Winstone is playing King Saul on fucking Of Gods and Prophets or Of Kings and Prophets.
I don't know anything what you said beyond Ray Winstone.
He's playing King David's father, the King of Israel.
Is that supposed to mean something to me?
It's in the Bible.
Yeah,
I know we talk about the Bible too much, but
is that we do. We got complaints recently that we were too religious, apparently.
What the fuck is that person talking about?
But no, it's just like, because it's the idea that anything old has to be by British people, and like,
oh yeah,
no matter what race or nationality, it's just,
right.
You're not going to hire Jewish people to be Jewish on TV. You're going to get Ray Winstone to be like, I'm going to unite all 12 tribes of Israel, I do.
Also, probably not a white guy.
Yeah, exactly.
British or not.
So is he a double? Is he working for the Egyptians or something?
I was just lying about being a double, Moses.
He does. It's amazing. Because like he's like kind of a crooked king. He's like, oh, the treasure. And it's like, oh, he's doing it. Oh, he's doing it again.
The treasure.
Gold, Mosey. Just go, Mosey.
So I'm working with Goliath now.
Wait a second. What is this show? It's a movie?
It's an ABC miniseries about the story of King David.
Oh,
it's
like great God almighty. Well, Who got the time for that?
It's all sexy Games of Thrones. He gets a blowjob in the first episode.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Oh, happy Easter.
He does. He's like, it's like some like sultry lady is like,
yeah.
Some sultry lady's like, you could have all the gold you want. It's like, oh, that's right. Oh, it's so fucking hot. And like her head on ABC goes below frame and he goes, eh. And then like,
you
they
want
cut.
Some treasure? How about these family jewels now?
You know what this Bible drama is missing? Some hot fellatio. Get filming. Why? Oh. And on ABC, by the way.
Oh, go easy now. Don't crucify yourself on that.
Walt Disney's rolling over in his cryogenic grave.
That doesn't even belong in Burton World.
Burton World, now with 100% less blowjobs. Bwah ha 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 ha.
I think Stephen Wright is hosting Burton World, maybe.
And Stephen Wright as Tim Burton.
Well, no, yeah, because like it's like
I'm his understudy.
Yeah, he's not showing up to rehearsal.
Tim couldn't be here today or any day.
I have to open Alice in Wonderland. I am Tim Burton today. I'm cutting the ribbon on Alice in Wonderland.
I'm wearing a baggy black suit and striped socks. Can't you tell? I'm Tim Burton.
Please remember to tip your Johnny Depps.
Oh, man. So
the movie's over. I mean, the movie's been over for a while.
An army of press show up to this garage. And
this is where they get their famous picture together. The two undistinguishable white guys and Ryan Phillippe.
And why would you end a cyber thriller on a fucking freeze frame?
Maybe the computer broke?
Oh, shit. Was this whole movie an animated GIF, man? Oh, fuck.
It's so dumb. And they're just smiling like it's a high school graduation photo.
Yeah, yeah. No,
people are dead.
Yeah, Teddy is dead. May I remind you, there's someone who's not smiling in that freeze frame because he was beaten to death with a baseball bat.
Freeze frame.
And wait, you know what bothers me about this ending?
The Everclear song?
Everything but... Also, I don't think we get to see the Aryan brothers get exonerated.
I don't think so. Those dudes are rotten in jail, man.
Oh, come on. Now, this is the problem with the prison industrial complex. Let those boys out. They didn't do anything.
Oh, good God. Yeah, and then it's just Art Alexakis just singing into our hearts for the rest of the credits.
And
almost.
It's like not a well-known song, right?
It's not one of the Everclear singles, no.
You know what the original title of this movie was, which is such a better title?
Sesame Seeds?
The Sesame Seed Killer?
Conspiracy.com.
Man, we had, in the early aughts, we needed to cool it with the fucking .com titles.
But like, I love the idea of like somebody was like, we'll call it conspiracy.com. And I was like, that's going to age terribly. No, more Everclear, please.
Like, yeah. Meanwhile, Antitrust is a great, great title.
You know what was shocking, actually, was totally shocking? At the start of the movie... You get like a news footage thing and it's like Tim Robbins being investigated for antitrust, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Jupin, you got it from the first one. And I started keeping a tally in my notes of how many times they say antitrust in this movie. Do you know how many times they say it?
217.
Take a guess as to how many times they say antitrust.
217.
Eight.
One time.
Really?
I was so surprised. One time in this movie they say antitrust. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. Shockingly, that's it.
Wow.
This movie, you think they'd be antitrust and all over the place.
You'd think so. Yeah, How many times do they say conspiracy.com? You know, the thing is, that title is it's like someone who owned the URL was asking for the sky.
Oh, yeah, nice. It's probably.
Yeah. I guess fear.com was available, though. Fear.com.com. Would anybody recommend this movie?
No.
No, I would not. I did not like this movie. I'm Claire Forlani.
I would recommend Of Kings and Prophets.
You wouldn't.
For that sweet beige, anyway. That Winstonian-style beige yammering on about.
How wet we talking? Well, it was. I guess it was the desert. It might have been dry.
Yeah, no. I mean, the next episode, I believe...
some bestiality in there. What's going on there? Ep 2.
Ben Kingsley plays God, and he tries to come over where Winston's house. He's like, oh no, we won't leave.
He plays God.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Sexy beast joke.
Yeah, that's what I was just connecting the dots to.
Yeah, it would be great though if Ben Kingsley played God. I'd buy that.
Trying to leave that TV show, getting on a plane and flipping out because he can't smoke.
I also would not recommend this movie. It's not even a hangover movie. It's just a who cares movie.
It's yeah, no, thank you.
There was a split second where I thought I saw this movie in theaters, but I think I just remembered seeing the trailer a lot. I feel like they were trying to mm-hmm. get in front of this movie.
Yeah.
And
I did not see this until last night.
Yeah. So that's, you know.
But the next week's movie I saw in theaters.
Oh, shit. Well, that for now is Antitrust from 2001, directed by Peter Howitt. Thanks again to Jenny for calling in all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee. If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/wehatemovies, and follow us on Twitter. That's at WHM Podcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Yes.
And could I make a quick plug?
Oh, please. Please plug away. Well, plug it up. Plug it in.
Speaking of future case files, Blame It Outer Space, a side podcast I do on the conspiracies and the paranormal.
Right.
Which is back here and there.
Yeah.
You know, here and there. Well, Andrew, you were on the show, I think, this or next week.
Oh, there you go.
Check your local listings, blameitonouterspace.com.
Very, very good. Rate review. What's that? What?
No.
You had something else?
Well, it's about the Goat Man.
Oh, the Goat Man.
Also known as the Pope Lick Monster.
Pope Lick?
And we also talk about if aliens are dead or not.
Oh, I remember talking about that.
When was this film?
We recorded
2001.
This 2001. Oh,
wow. Pre 9/11.
So yeah, you'd have to listen to it with a different ear, I guess.
Yes. Keep that in mind.
You'd have to listen to it on your Roxio MP3 player.
Winamp.
Oh, yeah, please check out the We Hate Movies Winamp skin. We're selling it for $2.99.
That's an outrageous price for a Winamp skin. Holy shit.
Well, no, I mean, I guess you'd probably get like a dozen or something. It would be a Winamp skin pack.
Yeah. There's a BIOS one in there.
God, didn't the early 2000s suck?
Oh, really, my God, did.
Winamp skins, and you cared about them.
I think that's why we spent it drunk the entire time.
No, that's very true. Rate and review the show in iTunes or wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Now, next week, it's the final week of the 2016 Listener Request Month.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Oh, man. Some of these movies. Woof. Speaking of woof, Dungeons and Dragons. So you got Jeremy Irons in this movie. I believe Marlon Wayans.
Uh-huh. Is it a London brother in this, speaking of Mallrats?
Oh, you might be right. I think he's playing Stannis Baratheon.
And just so, because I haven't seen it, so before, you know, I
never see this movie.
Before I just walk into the electric fence that is Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. No Claire Forlani around, right?
Not to my knowledge.
Because I can really only take Claire Forlani like twice a year tops.
Is Thora Birch in this? There's some early aughts going on here. I don't remember it exactly. We'll get into it next week.
Oh, man. I'm not looking forward to watching Dungeons and Dragons.
Nope. thanks to Jenny for calling in Antitrust, which we had a lot of fun with.
I already thanked her, but it's fine that you already thanked her, too.
Wait, now, do I have to thank her?
I think you got to thank Jenny. Yeah. Mm.
Thank you, Jenny.
Until next week with Dungeons and Dragons, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Sisko.
Take it easy.